Welcome everybody to the Sleeper Wire Show. I am your host, Rob Rose, and today I am joined by the one, the only, Mr. Steve Spack. Steve, say hello, brother.
What's going on, everybody? And Rob, I'm so glad to be back on here, dude. I missed your face.
Well, we can tweet Chris later, but for now we're going to talk about running backs. All things running backs, actually. So we have a little bit of free agent talk that we'll talk about, but we're also going to dive into some top names for this year's incoming rookie class and some teams where they may end up. And this is kind of one of my favorite times of year because I like to see the talent go from the combine to the pro days to draft day and see where teams really evaluate it. And running backs, there always seems to be a wealth of talent, but it always seems to be undervalued. And we're hitting that crossroads now where there's some big names this year on the free agent running back list. And we'll get to that for a second. What's your favorite part of this this time of the year, Steve?
Honestly, for me, man, like I'm just a big dynasty guy. And if you guys are following me on Twitter, on Instagram or whatever, I've been doing video cut ups and, you know, I really start looking into the draft process and, you know, to really evaluating what these guys have done with this last year in college and kind of evaluating some of the team needs coming up in the draft and so on and so forth and trying to think about good landing spots and whatnot. I mean, this is honestly, for me, outside of watching the game of football, definitely my favorite time of the year when it comes to fantasy.
Hell yeah, man. It's always nice to see young men come in and prove themselves. And last year we had a couple of success stories with Josh Jacobs. And you could say Daniel Jones, a nice little success story.
Oh, yeah, wow. For sure, man.
I'm going to work on saying the word success in the offseason.
You wanted to sneak that in there just because of your feelings for Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I don't feel strongly enough about him to kiss him on the mouth like I do Sam Darnold, but I'd risk mono for him on my fantasy team, especially Dynasty Superflex.
It's dedication, man.
Darnold is the guy you want to kiss on the mouth when it comes to fantasy quarterbacks. So
yeah, for sure.
Take that as you will. I am a heterosexual male, but for fantasy wins, I would kiss Sam Darnold on the mouth.
It's got to be the hair.
That's kind of the chin. If you flip them upside down, it kind of looks like another normal head. It's weird.
I could see that.
Yeah. Well, you know, asymmetrical head. Not really the point of this show. Running backs is what we're talking about. Steve, how could you let me get so far off topic? You know I'm on cold medicine. And that's what we're blaming that on. So
yeah, but that's no, fine with me, man. I mean, It's good times. It's good times, you know. I mean, you got cold. You're high on cold medicine. You know me. I'm just getting over the flu. You know, coronavirus. So, you know, we're both under the weather and rolling with this to bring you guys epic fantasy conversation about Sam Darnold's upside down head. So, anyways,
yes. And while we're talking about that, please, folks, keep a level head when it comes to this coronavirus. Don't go out in a panic. You don't need to punch Susie in the face to get the last rolls of toilet paper off the shelf. I promise you the world's not ending, but this is something to take serious.
Absolutely.
So do take the necessary precautions. Wash your hands after you use the bathroom. Don't spend more time in large crowded public areas than you have to. And don't invite vampires into your house.
I mean, you don't?
No, Steve. No, it's not what you do. Like you're really not supposed to do that. Like of all the things that you could maybe no, that's not one of the maybes, Steve. No vampires. But
that's fair.
But what we should be talking about right now is running backs.
Yes.
And
let's get this thing back on track.
Let's get back to running back vampiracy. Vampiracy.
Sure, let's roll with it.
Yes. So the vampiracy that has hit the running back free agent market, nobody wants to pay any running backs right now huge contracts? Because right now we have two of the biggest shining examples of why you don't want to, with Zeke and Todd Gurley, and their two albatross of contracts that are hanging over their teams right now. And both the Rams and the Cowboys are going to be struggling with cap to get more weapons on the field. So the first guy we're going to talk about here, Steve, is Derrick Henry. So he's going to be 26. So as far as dynasty running backs, he's still within the threshold that I'd be looking to buy if it's somebody that I'm interested in. And he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. So if they do not use the tag on Derrick Henry, which I'm thinking the Titans are going to, because they're going to pay Ryan Tannehill for probably a 3-year, $75 million contract maybe. But that's not the point of speculation here. We're talking about running backs. I don't think Derrick Henry is going to be able to score big money, and I think he's better off taking, I believe it's 10.8 on the franchise tag for him, 10.8 mil.
Yeah, I think it's somewhere around there. And I mean, realistically, his market value is probably going to be around 8 to 10 million. Mm-hmm. And I think Tennessee's going to sign him, to be honest with you, and not tag him. They'll sign him and maybe roll the dice with Tannehill. And there are other options out there at quarterback. So I think it could be one of those situations where Tannehill goes out, tests the waters, looking for huge money, not going to get it, and still fall back at Tennessee's lap for, you know, at least a reasonable price, and still lock up Henry for a few years.
With there being some bigger names out there, such as Kenyon Drake, Melvin Gordon, Kareem Hunt, I see the market is flooded with talent, and there is an influx of rookies coming in that have a lot of talent as well. So I would kind of see Henry maybe not viewing it as a bad thing to get the franchise tag this year, and next year in free agency have less competition and be able to make more money. We'll also have a clearer view of what's going on with the CBA, and I think that's going to have its effect on contract discussions between teams and agents for this coming year.
So, yeah, with the CBA, I can see players wanting to get deals done and not being tagged, though.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I think players may take less money just to get something done, mm-hmm. or less than what they, you know, maybe view themselves as worth. So you think Derrick Henry is staying in Tennessee?
Absolutely. Yeah, I see him staying there for sure.
Now, if he was going to go anywhere other than Tennessee, where would that be for you?
To be perfectly honest with you, I haven't even really thought about that, because I just don't see him outside of there. And in today's NFL, there are really not too many teams that kind of run that style. I mean, we see receiving abilities out of Derrick Henry, but I mean, he's more of a ground and pound guy, you know, and realistically, there's not that many teams out there. You look at Seattle, they kind of run that a little bit, but they have Chris Carson there. You know, you could potentially run that out with the Chargers, but you know, instead of paying Derrick Henry, they could pay Melvin Gordon to put alongside of a guy that they just paid, Austin Eckler, which I don't see happening. They paid Eckler, they're going to move on. They have Justin Jackson. They're going to draft somebody else or sign veteran depth, one or the other. So there's just right now, off the top of my head, I can't really think of a team that stands out just because I haven't seen them anywhere else. I don't know about you.
So I haven't really thought of anything clever to come up with there, Steve, because while I'm looking at the teams that are in need, there isn't somebody that I think would shell out big money. There's one team that I think could be a dark horse candidate, but there's another guy on our list that I think was going to catch their eye more. That's Miami. Now, can you imagine putting rookie quarterback Tua with Derrick Henry and letting him have that time to use the play action and use Derrick Henry's strengths to let his hip heal a little bit, and he doesn't have to be super mobile from minute one when he goes in. Having that kind of support in the backfield with him would certainly, I think, be a leg up for Tua. So,
yeah, I don't think that's a bad scenario that you just laid out there.
But I do think that Melvin Gordon is more likely to land there. Or what's your favorite spot for Melvin Gordon? I'm going to ask you first before I throw another spot out there.
For me, it's the Texans. I mean, Carlos Hyde's a free agent as well. Just he fits what they do there. And Melvin Gordon's a volume guy as well, and he's going to get volume there, whether it's running the ball or catch the ball out of the backfield. He just fits what they do. You know, he's a good pass blocker. So, and we all know that Deshaun Watson's getting chased all over the field, and some of it's his fault because he holds on to the ball too long at times, but you know, it puts another element there. So that's, you know, for fantasy purposes, especially, that's the ideal place for me with Melvin Gordon is in Houston.
That was exactly what I was going to say for the second one. So I'm glad I throw it to you first, Steve, because that was clear and concise about why Melvin Gordon would be fantastic there. Imagine the triplets, Deshaun Watson, Melvin Gordon, and Nuke. That would that'd be serious. You'd really have to spend some time game planning, even if that offensive line isn't 100% shored up. I think Melvin Gordon is big enough and still young enough can still thump well enough that even with kind of a crappy offensive line, he could still generate fear of the running game, which is absolutely one thing nobody really had. Nobody had respect for the running game of the Texans this year. When they came into the playoffs, Duke Johnson came out in spurts, but he just doesn't look like a three-down back. So I would love to see somebody like Melvin Gordon. Now, the last one we have that are kind of the bigger names is Kareem Hunt. Now, I think that he's going to stay in Cleveland, and they're going to sign that tender. But you and I had talked about this a little bit before we went on air. What are your thoughts, Steve?
I don't see him going anywhere with the RFA on there. And they did say that they're going to tender him, but there's no details on it yet that I've seen. Now, if you look at whether it's a first or a second or original round, an original round for Kareem Hunt's a third rounder anyways. So I can't see Cleveland doing anything less than at least a second round tender on him. They would have to, but you know, Rob, to your point when we were talking pre-show here, just kind of the coming out party that he had, and there was a good compliment between him and Nick Chubb in that backfield. I just can't see them letting that go. You know, there's going to be a new situation there this year. You know, obviously things are kind of up in the air with OBJ. Jarvis Landry's injured. He's expected to be back and fine. I believe his is a hip issue as well. But there's just other things going on within that team, within that offense right now that are kind of up in the air, but you know that you have Nick Chubb and you know you have the opportunity to keep Kareem Hunt. So if you're going to put a first or second round tender on him, obviously teams are going to come to the table if they choose to give up that capital to get him and make him an offer. But again, Cleveland always has the option to match that offer, right? So this is just one of those scenarios that unless a team really, really, really wants to pay up for Kareem Hunt, I don't see him going anywhere.
And he was kind of the creative spark that made that offense come back to life towards the end of last season. They started to look like they could climb out of the gutter and maybe even reach the playoffs with some help from some other teams. Wow. Cold medicine is serious. So what I'd really like to see from Kareem Hunt is another year where he stays out of trouble and stays out of the headlines, because we all know that poor decision making on and off the field can translate to poor fantasy performance. Vis-a-vis Jameis Winston throws 30 interceptions last year. And you know, that's kind of I've always kind of ridden that train that I believe it's not as late. I don't think LASIK's going to fix this problem. I don't think his injuries were the issue last year. I think he just makes poor decisions in the moment. And for an NFL quarterback, and there's a lot of people out there that do make poor decisions in the moment. It doesn't make them bad people or, you know, Satanists or even terrible quarterbacks. It just makes them not good. And even saying that, though, Jameis was, I believe, the number three or the number five quarterback last year. So even with 30 interceptions, he still had a good season statistically other than that. So we'll see what happens with Kareem Hunt. But Steve, I want to throw it over to you, buddy, so you can kind of walk us through some of these teams that are running back needy, or maybe just running back dreamy, kind of looking at these guys with hungry eyes, like maybe I could and we could make some moves. So walk us through what you got here, buddy.
For sure, man. So before we dive into some of these rookies, these are teams that, you know, could use depth or whatever, just kind of what Rob was saying. You know, they have the need or they have the luxury. Trying to stay more so away from the luxury, and you'll hear one of the teams and you'll probably understand why I use that word. So, you know, the Buffalo Bills are a team that, you know, they have Devin Singletary, but what do they have after that, right? And there's a lot of concern, not from me. I believe Singletary can be the guy there. I think he can be the lead guy there. But a lot of people have the concern about whether he can be a bell cow, and they need that complimentary back. And it's very possible. But that's one team. The Browns, I threw on there just because of the Kareem Hunt situation, which we just talked about. You know, you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Obviously, there has been nothing going on there for a while. You had the glimpses of Doug Martin and what? Nothing. So there's definitely a need there. You have the Cards, who, in my mind right now, I see Kenyon Drake staying there. I think they traded for him with a plan, and if it worked out, they were bringing him back, and he did quite well with his short time there, and he fit that system well, and I can see them bringing him back. And they still have Chase Edmonds. You have to remember that as well. So whether they draft another guy later or, you know, sign some veteran depth or something like that, I think the Cards are in a situation where they won't draft somebody unless something just amazing falls in their lap. Then you had the Chargers, which we talked about briefly, you know, with the signing of Austin Eckler. I can see Melvin Gordon gone for sure now. Justin Jackson's still there, who in his limited role was an efficient running back. So another situation where they could draft somebody late or, you know, sign veteran depth unless something amazing happens for them. The Dolphins definitely have a need. The Falcons are going to move on from Freeman. You know, they have a need. Everybody else that's behind them, either Ito Smith and Brian Hill. And, yeah, Quadri Allison. Yeah, I mean, Allison, I know a lot of people are excited about. I guess we'll see what happens with camp, but there's nothing there. And now Kansas City is the team that I'm talking about when it comes to the luxury, and I only say that because of, you know, how their offense is and who they have. And obviously, they're Super Bowl champions, you know, sitting at pick 32 with where a lot of these running backs are projected right now. They have a very good scenario where they could land a potential superstar running back for dirt cheap for the next 4 years when you're about to sign, well, 4 to 5 years when you're about to sign your franchise quarterback as well, right? The Lions, possibly. Kerryon Johnson, dude just hasn't been able to stay healthy at all. And they don't really have anybody else. Great. Bo Scarborough last year, blah, blah, blah. They don't really have anybody. Okay. Yeah,
no one.
The Steelers, they don't have a first round pick, but James Conner was hurt last year. He seems to not be healthy for full seasons, even though he's only had, what, 2 years now since Bell's been gone. You know, you did. Jalen Samuels had a golden opportunity, didn't do much with it. They drafted Benny Snell last year, and he showed some glimpses too. But the Steelers, they do. They filter out running backs. They constantly bring guys in. That's what they've done. Bell was the one that stuck around for the longest, probably maybe since Bettis. I could be wrong. I'm just going off the top of my head here. And then you're looking at the Titans, which we talked about that situation, you know, Derrick Henry, I see staying there. And then we talked about the Texans with, you know, Melvin Gordon being a good landing spot there. So those are just some teams right now that I'm looking at that could use some of these guys that I want to talk about. And I kind of wanted to do just like a top five episode, but I was on the fence with a couple of these guys. So we're going to talk about six of these.
All right. Well, before we jump into all six of these guys, Steve, I want to just real quick jump over a couple of these teams and ask you a few questions, so that way we cover all our bases here. Okay. I'm sure there are people screaming at their radios right now. But Steve, what about? So you addressed, you know, I think that, oh no, now I'm going to forget his name. Mini Shady McCoy, Devin Singletary. Wow. That eluded me there. You covered Devin Singletary and Nick Chubb, but with the Bucs, what about Ronald Jones?
So, I mean, yeah, we saw glimpses out of Jones last year, but what'd you get out of Peyton Barber? You know, Agumba Wale, he was a good third down guy, but, and, you know, in Bruce Arians' offense, you need that David Johnson type running back, right? And I know a lot of people are speculating that David Johnson could end up over in Tampa Bay this year. Like they need more than what they have.
Absolutely. So,
and there is that type of talent available. There is that type of running back that has the receiving abilities, that is good in pass pro, and that's huge for Bruce Arians. You are not on the field as a running back unless you're good in pass pro. And those the two biggest things that Ronald Jones had against him going into this year was pass pro and receiving abilities. And if you look at the games where, oh, Ronald Jones, oh, great, this was his breakout game, and then he was gone next week. Why? Because he started the game in the third play of the game, he blew his assignment, and then you didn't see him the rest of the game. So there's that.
Definitely. Bruce Arians pulling somebody for missing a blitz pickup is probably one of the most suspect things I've seen. That was when people were starting to trust Ronald Jones. Like, hey, maybe I can use that guy. So I don't really think that there's anybody else on there that we need to address. It's a shame Kerryon Johnson just can't stay on the field. The Lions haven't had a run game in forever. And it felt like Kerryon Johnson may be the next thing from, you know, since Barry Sanders, I think, is the last great running back they had.
Yeah, and I had high hopes for him because, I mean, he was a solid running back in the SEC.
Hell yeah.
So, you know, that gave me a lot of high hopes. But, you know, he was another one that had an injury history coming in, and it was just, you know, hopefully it was just developmental. And then when he got to the NFL, you know, maybe he would kind of grow out of that situation, but it's just, it's not looking good.
No, it isn't. And it sucks because these are all, they're all people. They have feelings too. And sometimes we forget about that in the fantasy community. But a lot of times in the fantasy community, we don't really care about your feelings because I lost. So... that doesn't work for me. I don't care about your feelings, guy. So, Steve, tell us a little bit about these rookies. We're going to jump into these top six. I dove away from it a little bit there, and now I'm going to hand it back to you and let you run it down the field like a running back.
Yes. Okay, but I'm not going to go into my Heisman pose when we're done. Can't do Better. That. Won't do that. Can't do it. Won't do it. No. But anyways, you can go through the Twitterverse and see everybody's rankings in these players, right? You can make cases for a lot of these guys, but for me, the unquestioned number one running back in this draft is DeAndre Swift. I think this guy is the most complete running back in this class. He is a jack of all trades and damn near master of them all. I mean, this guy is a solid runner. He is a solid receiver, and he is great in pass protection. He is somebody that I've actually seen in mock drafts, and this would be a very scary situation to where Kansas City drafts him at 32 if he falls all the way down there. And Rob and I talked about this before show, is that there is enough talent on different levels here in this draft that can push a lot of skill position players back. And we really haven't seen a whole lot of running backs taken in the first round over the last few years, you know, and for somebody of that talent, I'm really surprised he's not projected higher. I haven't seen anything. I haven't even looked at him doing a mock draft myself because I'm still kind of diving through film, but this guy is a great talent. You know, I mean, you look at his numbers in college, they're not the sexiest, but if you look at his utilization and his efficiency, You know what I mean? Like last year, for example, the guy only had 196 carries for 1,218 yards, a 6.2 yards per carry, seven touchdowns. For the year, he had a total of 220 touches for 1,434 yards and eight total touchdowns. He averaged 6.5 yards every time he touched the ball. Sure, that doesn't stand out, but go watch film. Look at the guy on the field. Look at what he does. Look at the offense and how they played and so on and so forth. This guy, in my opinion, is the most complete back in this class, and he is going to be absolutely dominant in the NFL. I don't know if you've seen this guy play at all, Rob, or what your thoughts are on this situation, but I really like this guy.
I always like to see running backs come out of the SEC because, you know, if they can hang there, they can hang in the NFL. There's some serious defenses that they're going to have to play every year, and he continued to get better every year. That's what you want to see. For me, in a rookie running back, I want to see growth and development. Or if there's an outlying season, why? And for me, DeAndre Swift was just consistent, and he did it with the Georgia Bulldogs, which is not easy to do. So I can agree that DeAndre Swift is my favorite. I've seen a couple mock drafts come out where the Ravens are selecting him at 28 to add to that running back stable. But you're absolutely right. I think Sony Michel and Rashad Penny are the last two first-round running backs I can think of, and neither of those guys have panned out. So, again, the devaluation of the running back position continues into draft capital now because there's no reason to spend. Nobody's spending that high draft capital unless it's Saquon Barkley, and obviously generational talent is generational talent. Now, Steve, do you think there are any Saquon Barkleys in this class? Do you think DeAndre Swift can have that kind of immediate impact on an NFL team?
No. Saquon's a different animal. He really is. I mean, it's very hard to explain that. And I mean, you look even before Saquon, you know, you had Zeke go high, and I can't even put Zeke there. He's close, but I can't. I mean, Saquon, he's just a generational talent. The guy had everything going into college, realistically, and he just kind of had to do his time there to get into the NFL. And, you know, obviously for physical maturation and, you know, the growth in game speed and all that. But as far as the like football IQ and the physical attributes and things of that sort, he's generational for sure.
Yeah, he's just got a different kind of attitude. He's willing to come in the building early and work. He knows what it's going to take to be at the top of the game, which he's put in that work since he was young, and now he's conditioned to do it. It's now become just another day's routine to get up and work out like a manimal, and the dude's thighs are bigger than probably both of mine put together, which is
right.
It's impressive, man. He's a physical specimen. But who's the next guy on your rookie list that some of these teams are going to be targeting early?
I mean, J.K. Dobbins is another one. In my mind, this guy is definitely a three-down running back. He's a little bit smaller, but you know, don't let that fool you with this young man. I'm really kind of bummed out that he didn't participate in the combine, you know, outside of bench reps, I believe it was. But yep. You know, everybody has to remember too that not too long ago he did just play against Clemson, and he did injure his ankle in that game. So I guess I don't blame him for that aspect, you know, not running the 40, the three cone drill and all that stuff. I mean, he does have his pro day coming up on March 25th. So you should be able to get a closer look at some of that stuff there. But, you know, this guy is very good. Actually, before this, as we were putting these notes together, I realized I hadn't even done a film cut up on Dobbins yet. I don't know how that slipped through. So I'm going to be putting that one out on social media here shortly, probably after we record this. But, yeah, I mean, the guy is no slouch, and he has the talent. He has the skill set to do what he needs to do to definitely be, you know, a three-down back in the NFL. I could be wrong. It just depends on the situation that he falls into. I kind of see him almost in a situation where he could grow into that role, kind of like how Miles Sanders just did this last year, you know, kind of, you know, worked his way into it. But I realistically see this guy having a very bright future ahead of him and being a solid starter in the NFL. You know, if you really look at his season that he just had last year, I mean, he had 300 carries, which is a lot. He had 2,000 yards. You know, he had 2,250 yards for scrimmage and 23 total touchdowns. I mean, 300 carries is a lot, but in 2018, he only carried the ball 230 times, and then the year before that, 194. Every single year, he's been over 1,000 yards. So he's had a very successful college career. So there's no doubt in my mind that this guy's going to be pretty damn good.
Yeah, he doesn't have the same wear on the treads that another one of the big names. And I think there's a top three, and then it kind of that's the first tier. There's the word I'm looking for. First tier of running backs. But he's taken a lot of carries in college. How much do you think that's going to impact teams looking at him? And do you happen to know his age off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, no, but yeah. I will look it up right
okay,
now.
I can kind of talk and cover you while you look at that. One of the reasons I ask is some of these guys that still are taking a lot of carries are still young enough that their bodies kind of recover from how much workload they took in college.
So he'll be 22 towards the end of the year. Middle of December, he'll be 22. So this guy's in good shape, you know, as far as miles to whatnot.
I agree with you that he's a true three-down back, and I think Dobbins could be one of the most successful running backs from this class, and I think he can do it in multiple offenses, where some of these guys, like I believe the next one that you're going to talk about, are going to be system-dependent. As talented as everybody is, it does matter where you land. And I think J.K. Dobbins is one of the guys that could probably succeed in almost any style offense, but there's certainly going to be some that cater more to his skill set than others. Who's the next guy that you got for us, Steve?
So Jonathan Taylor's the other one. And, mm-hmm. you know, I have some concern on his mileage, you know, as you were kind of alluding to there. And really outside of Melvin Gordon, man, if you look at the history of Wisconsin running backs, it's kind of scary. And I mean, there's no doubt that the talent is there. And the guy, he just turned 21 and he had 926 carries in three seasons over there in Wisconsin. So 926 carries, ran for over 6,000 yards. I know one of the concerns that some people have on him is his ball security situation. And I guess, I mean, we've seen guys come into the league with ball security issues and they grow out of that. They do learn. But, you know, it's obvious the talent's there. Again, 6,000 yards. The guy had 50 rushing touchdowns in 3 years. You know, and he had 5 receiving touchdowns last year. So he even grew in that aspect of the game. So, I really do like the guy. He's a lot of fun to watch, and I enjoyed going back and looking at his film, you know, before and during the bowl season. There is when I started diving into him a little bit. But again, he is young. He just turned 21, but you know, over 900 carries in 3 years, and then just the history of Wisconsin running backs. You know, I really want to see where he lands before I go any further about how I really feel about him.
I want to see him catch passes.
Yeah, he did. Like, if you go back and you look at this last year, he looked a lot better. He did look pretty good. I mean, not a lot of catches, but he had 26 catches on the year.
26.
You go back to J.K. Dobbins. He had 23 this year. He had 26 last year.
Yeah, it's not, I guess, you know, it sounds low, but for a running back, that's really not like
in
terrible.
College.
We're not talking about Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
But so one of the things that really excited me about Jonathan Taylor was his 40 time. He was sub 4.4.
Yep.
And that's impressive. He really does have a second gear. He can get past defenders that take an angle. He's actually fast enough to beat the angle on the breakaway. And home run speed is something that is not abundant in every running back prospect. A lot of these guys are quick enough to get past the second level, but get chased down 30, 40, 50 yards up the field. And, you know, that's still a huge play. But Taylor's got the speed to take it to the house.
Oh, yeah.
Much like Saquon. So that's great. But that's probably, for me, I think his ball security issues can be taught. You know, you can break somebody of that problem. And you get on the right team, and they are going to put a football in your hands, and you're going to walk around with it everywhere you go. And people are going to be trying to smack that thing out of your hands, and you better protect that ball.
Tiki Barber was one save, man.
Yeah. Lamar Jackson is a guy that you can look at, had ball security issues and cleaned it up a little bit coming into the second year. And I think that's really just sometimes teaching guys who have dominated at a certain level that now these guys can catch up with you. You actually have to pay attention to the ball now. Like, you're not just going to run past everybody.
Right.
But I do like Jonathan Taylor if he lands in the right spot. If Tennessee doesn't keep Derrick Henry, I'd love to see Jonathan Taylor end up there. I think that'd be a dream pairing. Keep Ryan Tannehill, get Jonathan Taylor, who is the younger, less abused version of Derrick Henry, because he essentially was the same thing. So who do you got next for us, Steve?
So one guy that I really do like, and it wouldn't shock me if he actually ended up being one of the top, like, 2 to 3 running backs in this class, is Cam Akers. And this is a guy that I think could do well in Tampa Bay. This is a guy I think could do well in Miami, the Falcons. You know, this is a guy that has, you know, 3 down traits with amazing upside. He actually almost reminds me a little bit of Dalvin Cook. Mm-hmm. Now, if you go back and look at Cam Akers' stats, compare them to Dalvin Cook and their style of play and all that, you'll see that the statistics are off. However, look at the situation Florida State was in during Dalvin's time to what Cam Akers had to deal with. So the teams are night and day. Florida State has been pretty much atrocious. But, you know, realistically, Cam Akers still had, you know, just over 1,100 yards on the year. He's a solid runner. He has amazing hands out of the backfield, and he is another good pass blocker. This is a guy that does not go down easily. He sheds through arm tackles. He has great vision. He has great instinct. I mean, just watching some of his cutback abilities, it's kind of scary at times. You know, I wouldn't be one that's just going to be coming through and wanting to square up on him, and the next thing you know, I'm on the ground looking for where the hell he went because he just broke my ankles. So, you know, he's definitely one of my favorite guys. And again, like I said, his upside is amazing. You know, realistically, if you go back on the year, you know, he had, you know, talking about his receiving skills, he had 30 catches this year and 23 last year. You know, for the entire year this year, he had 1,369 yards from scrimmage and 18 touchdowns. You know, 14 of those were on the ground. So this is another guy that if you look at his rushing efficiency, is kind of is parallel to what I'm seeing with DeAndre Swift, you know, except with Cam Akers over there in Florida State, they didn't have a whole lot. He was one of the focal points of the offense. So really, he was just a very, very, very good player. He's an efficient player, and he's somebody that, again, you know, could do a lot of damage depending on where he falls. I think he can be a feature back right out the gate.
Absolutely. I think Cam Akers has really got a nose for the end zone. One thing he does well is get in to score. He had 14 rushing touchdowns, I believe, this past season. So it's always tough when you have guys come out of divisions like the ACC, because you know he's not playing top-rated talent,
right,
and he's not playing with top-rated talent around him. However, he was still good enough to put up really good numbers this past season. He's somebody that physically impressed me at the combine. Just looking at him, he looks like a big man, and he's actually, I believe, what is he, 5'9" and a half? Is he one of the
he's
the smaller group? There's quite a few guys that are right around that 5'7 to 5'9 height in this running back class this year.
He's not the biggest guy, but he is solid and he's a strong runner, man. Going back to the touches to carries, I mean, he still averaged 5 yards carry this year. He averaged
Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, I was just gonna say, he averaged over 5 yards per touch, period. So when you're playing on an abysmal team in a conference like the ACC, he still put up good numbers. And again, he's just another one. If you go back and you watch the film, he's going to be good.
The build reminds me of Leonard Fournette is where I was going with that. Those guys are just built with those big legs and they take hard strides and they run hard. I like Cam Akers a lot. I actually like your next guy just a little bit more, though. Why don't you tell us a little bit about LSU's pride running back?
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is possibly my favorite running back in this draft class, and I'm not saying that to where, like, he's the best. I just love the style of play of this guy, and, I mean, granted, he was in a very good situation this year at LSU. I mean, with Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson, just the wide receivers, the offense, the defense, everything. I mean, it was one of the better college football teams that we've seen in a while. And this guy was a very, very, very good talent. And I feel like I'm being repetitive about this, but there are a lot of guys in this draft that have three down traits. The CEH is, kind of like DeAndre Swift, in my mind, is a guy that I'd like to see in Kansas City. I think he could do a lot of damage there, with his receiving ability, with the way he runs. He's a hard runner. I mean, the guy had 1,414 yards on the ground this year and 16 rushing touchdowns. He had 55 receptions, which is kind of a lot for a college running back. And, 55 receptions for 453 yards and add another touchdown on with that. I mean, this guy was a lot of fun to watch all year, and he's another one that I enjoyed going back and going through video and looking at the clips that I did for that one. And he's a very exciting guy, and he's very instinctive. His footwork and his vision are probably some of the best in this draft. One of my favorite runs that I put in that clip, it's like you watch this guy walk laterally down the line on a goal line run. It doesn't even look like his head moves at all. It's like his feet are just going in a lateral drill, just waiting for that hole to open up. And then boom, he just pops through and scores on like a 2 or 3 yard touchdown. So he's just, he's one of my favorites, man. I don't know about you, Rob.
Yeah, I really like a running back that can catch 55 balls. I'm sorry, but for me right there, that makes him worth his weight in gold, because you see what the Alvin Kamaras and the Christian McCaffreys are doing right now in the league. I think you're going to see Justice Hill take a step forward this coming year and be that style of running back. We had Leonard Fournette last year run that style of running back offense really well and catch quite a few passes himself. So I would like to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire go to the Detroit Lions, actually, because I think he could be that Theo Riddick-style running back that can help them get back into contention. If Matt Stafford stays, Kenny Galladay's healthy, you get that offense kind of back together, and maybe you get Kerryon Johnson healthy. I think that could be a great 1-2 punch with him and Helaire. And eventually maybe Helaire just takes over the whole role if Kerryon can't stay healthy, because I think he could do well. He is a smaller running back, but he is not limited to catching passes or running outside. I do think he has the skill set to be able to sneak up the middle. Like you were talking about, he's got excellent vision. So,
yeah, I don't really want to see him here in Detroit, because Detroit just wastes good talent. So,
yeah, I mean, there's that, but like, it's Matt Patricia. Know that, like, he's got to actually want to not throw the ball 50 plus times a game. That is not the offense he wants to run. I think it's the offense Detroit's been forced to run since Barry Sanders left. And it's tough. but I do think that if they could remedy the situation, they would. And I think Hilaire could be one of those guys that could actually be a remedy to the situation, because he can catch passes out of the backfield. So, you know, it wouldn't be completely wasted if he didn't run it.
Well, and that's true. And I mean, you know, us in the fantasy world, I mean, for the most part, you're playing PPR. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire is definitely a guy that you want to look at. That's for sure.
Yeah, I would definitely say that he should be in your top three running backs if you value PPR. Jonathan Taylor, I think, slides out of my top three if we're going PPR. And that may break some people's hearts, but that's how I feel about it. And until he proves me wrong, I'm going to continue to feel that way.
It's now, bold, but I don't hate it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. I just don't. I don't know how teams are going to value him and how they're going to use him. So,
it's all landing spot. You know, we're in silly season right now, right? Everything's hypothetical. So,
yeah. So the last guy that you have for us in this top six list is a small school prospect. So what makes him stand out for you, Steve? Tell us a little bit about your man here, Zach Moss.
Zach Moss, yeah, he's another fun one, man. And it's funny that you brought up the Lions, because they were one of the teams amongst many that had a visit with this young man. You know, he's somebody that I think could do some damage with a team like New Orleans, Indianapolis, Buffalo. He is a guy that, can do it all on the field. He's a punishing runner. He's very, very physical, but he's also another one that has good receiving skills too. You know, he had 28 catches last year. He kind of had a bounce back because he was injured. He did have a knee injury in 2018, but 2017 he had 29 receptions too. So definitely possesses that ability. And, you know, he's another one that ran over 1,400 yards this year as well. And, you know, had 15 rushing touchdowns. I mean, he was one of the top runners in college football this year. And, you know, if you look at a team like New Orleans, even with his receiving ability, he's still a good complement to a guy like Kamara, kind of like Ingram was. And then the Colts kind of intrigued me because I don't really know what they're going to do with Marlon Mack. Are they going to stick with him as their lead guy, given his injury history? And if they do, great. Because, I mean, I'm not saying Marlon Mack's a terrible running back, but a guy like Zach Moss, you know, he's one that would be a good complement to him just because he's a little bit of a bruiser and he does carry that receiving ability that Marlon Mack does not. And he would give you some pretty good depth behind, you know, one of the better offensive lines in the entire NFL, you know, given the fact that Marlon Mack does go down. And then Buffalo, you know, it pains me in general to think about anybody else there, because I like Devin Singletary so much. He's another fun one that came from a small school. But I think he's another one that would just be a good complement to the type of running back that Devin Singletary is and what they do over there in Buffalo. So, you know, again, this is a guy that can do it all. And you know, it just through his entire, college career, he's been pretty efficient. I mean, if you go back his freshman year, he, you know, didn't have a lot of touches or whatever, but, you know, he averaged 4.5 yards a carry, in his sophomore year, 5.5 yards, and his limited, junior year, 6.1 yards per carry. And then his senior year, 6 yards per carry. So the guy has definitely been efficient with the ball in his hand. And I think he can continue to do that, in the NFL level, especially, if he lands in the right situation.
Yeah. He's definitely a guy that I did not know a lot about until today. And I did the research for the show, and, I'm really glad you brought him up, because I think he's probably one of the most viable small school candidates that has a chance to make it in the NFL. I think Buffalo with Frank Gore probably not going to be there this coming season would be the spot I'd like to see him, because I think that could make Josh Allen more dangerous, John Brown more dangerous, and Devin Singletary more dangerous.
Oh, I agree.
Obviously, a running quarterback makes running backs more dangerous, but having a bruiser as well as somebody shifty like Singletary in the backfield at the same time, kind of running that pistol offense that Lamar Jackson was running a lot of this year in Baltimore, I think it could make Josh Allen and that whole running game just absolutely devastating. Those two boys together would be real nice.
So
one guy that we didn't have on this list that you had in the names of note that I really like, it's another guy from a school that we don't necessarily associate with football that much, and that's A.J. Dillon. Mm-hmm. I like A.J. Dillon a lot, and he, out of everybody, reminds me a lot of Leonard Fournette. What do you have to say about A.J. Dillon, and who are some other guys that you think we should keep our eyes on?
I mean, A.J. Dillon, I think that guy, I think he has a lot of good traits to him. He's a very sound runner. I think he does have the potential to probably even be a lead guy in a committee. I mean, committees are all over the NFL for the most part right now, but I think he's a guy that can have a successful career. You know, Keyshawn Vaughn's another one that I like. Yeah, I mean, we could have went through a long list. I mean, Eno Benjamin's on here, Anthony McFarland, Darrington Evans. I mean, these are guys that we could have just went on and talked about rookie running backs forever, but obviously we want to, you know, try to keep this as short as we possibly can. But these are all guys that I think have, you know, legitimate shots at having solid careers in the NFL. I mean, if you go back, you know, to the class with Kareem Hunt, Alvin Kamara, and those guys and see who was drafted where, I think you're potentially looking at a very similar situation right here. And you really just really need to sit back and kind of look at the free agency portion right now. You know, what teams are doing what as far as the running back situations go, and not even just running backs. You know, this is big. I mean, this episode is geared more towards, you know, dynasty. And when you're looking at running backs and wide receivers and quarterbacks and all that stuff, you're looking at what these teams are doing in free agency, and it kind of gives you a better idea of what the intentions can be going into the draft process. So you really got to have to analyze all this stuff as you go. And realistically, you know, there are some holes out there in the world of the running back as far as starters and then, you know, solid number two options. You know, you look at a guy last year like Alexander Mattison, you know, he was definitely a good guy to have, especially if you were a Dalvin Cook owner, you know, and you lost Dalvin what there for a couple weeks, a week or two. And, you know, Mattison wasn't a terrible play. And then, you know, he got hurt. And obviously, you know, everything was whatever from there. But, you know, Mattison even still got involved in games that Dalvin was playing or games that Minnesota got up, and he kind of, you know, closed it out for him. So, you know, there are opportunities such as the Alexander Mattisons out there as well for some of these guys to fill in.
Yeah, and Mike Boone was the guy that came in after Alexander yep. Mattison went down.
And, yeah, because Dalvin went down, and then Mattison, I think they got hurt like the same game.
And Mike Boone was a guy that I've always loved because he looked so great in the preseason, and then he did not look that great. I regret to inform myself and everybody else who was in love with him because of what he's done in the preseason.
He's been a preseason darling for a couple of years.
it's a shame because I really liked him, and I held on to him over Rock Thomas. It seemed like Rock Thomas was fighting him for the backup position there in Minnesota. But, you know, enough about Minnesota running backs. I do believe that we've talked about quite a lot of talent here. So real quick, Steve, I just want to get, you know, one word answer from you for each guy. What would be the team you want them to go to the most? DeAndre Swift.
KC.
J.K. Dobbins.
Tampa Bay.
Nice. Jonathan Taylor.
Dolphins.
Cam Akers.
Falcons.
Nice. Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Man, that's tough. Because I want him to go to KC as well. But let's just say for talking purposes, Texans, if Melvin Gordon doesn't go there.
All right. And Zach Moss.
Even though Latavius Murray's there, I'd like to see him in New Orleans.
I think that'd be a great spot because I don't think Latavius is the answer, really. Although he did look good in select starts last year. He racked up some fantasy points. I just don't think Latavius Murray could do it if he had to do it all season. But that's my personal opinion, and I made it stern for that on Twitter. The only one I would disagree with is I want Jonathan Taylor to go to the Chargers and be the Melvin Gordon replacing Melvin Gordon. I think he would pair very well with Austin Eckler.
I guess my thing with that is I think they like Jefferson, and I don't know if they necessarily for other needs that they're going to have in their team, and what we saw out of Austin Eckler in the absence of Melvin Gordon last year, if they're going to spend the draft capital on a guy like Jonathan Taylor. That's just kind of my standpoint on it.
I can't disagree with the logic. That's like my dream spot for him to go because I think he pair very well with Austin Eckler. You've always got the Seattle Seahawks that, Pete Carroll has a wild card up his sleeve and likes to draft running backs in the first round for no clear reason.
I almost put Seattle on this list of teams just because that is Pete Carroll-esque. And you look at the injury history of the young running backs that they have right now, and they did spend first-round capital on Rashad Penny, as you spoke about earlier, but just the talent that's available in this draft and for where they can get guys, I would not be surprised if they did draft somebody this year.
Two things concern me with Rashad Penny. One is he had complications after his initial surgery. So the timetable was already pretty close to whether or not he'd be ready for the season. And it doesn't look like if there were their complications, I would not assume he'll be ready to go week one. If he is, that means he didn't participate in any workouts or any part of camp up to that point. And I myself don't like running backs that haven't participated in any part of the ramping up for the season. Two, Chris Carson, if he's healthy, is definitely the starting running back. You've also got Travis Homer there, but I think, like you said, if the talent falls to them where they are, I would not be absolutely blown away to see DeAndre Swift go to the Seattle Seahawks.
Whew.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that we know that Pete Carroll is looking for a running back. He's always looking for a running back, and Chris Carson has been good, but I believe he's a free agent after next season.
He is. And I mean, his injury history, his ball security issues last year, which was something that's never really been an issue with him. With the guys that are available this year and the fact that, there are a lot of running backs that are there that just have the kind of the do-it-all aspects of the game, it really wouldn't surprise me if that happened at all.
No, and I do think that we see KC, like you kind of alluded to earlier, I think KC is a huge candidate to take a running back in the first three rounds at least. I don't know if they'll use that number 32 pick, but if they really want to get a guy that can run, then I would think that's what they're going to do because Shady McCoy is rumored to be moving on, which I would not be surprised by. And Damian Williams, while he looked good when he was healthy, is another guy that can't stay on the field. So I don't think they see him as a true first and second down back, and they would love to have somebody in there who could play that role. So.
Right.
We may see a big name end up on one of the best offenses last season. And with a fully healthy Patrick Mahomes, we could see one of the best offenses of all time.
Indeed, sir.
All right. Well, that kind of wraps us up here with our free agency slash post-combine rookie running back analysis. So thank you very much, Steve, for putting this whole thing together. I have to give all of the creative credit to Mr. Spaccadorelli over there, who has falsely labeled himself as Spicoli. Sir, I know that is not the best thing. I don't think you look like Sean Penn.
I am sending a pizza to the classroom as we speak.
Sweet. So thank you very much, guys, for taking this wonderful journey with us. As always, please continue to tune in year-round for original content from Sleeper Wire as we continue to pump it out all off-season and in-season. We'll be back to the regular shows. We will have the Sleeper Waiver Show this year, the Mail Sack, and the Sunday Blitz will all be live. And then we also have weekend previews and reviews. So stay tuned for creative content in the off season and your nuts and bolts in season. Steve, tell us where we can find you across the interweb.
Basically, if you just look up at SSPAC21, that's SSPAC21, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, on Sleeper. That's just basically where you're going to find me, is that handle.
Wonderful. And that's easy to remember. Remember, SSPAC21, SSPAC21. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much everywhere you can type it. I myself on Twitter, I am EsorBor1, ESORBOR1, because that is my name backwards, because I am Rob Rose. So it's been a pleasure, guys. Stay safe. Remember, it's not the zombie apocalypse. Wash your hands, and good night.